الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, drugs, destruction, drugs equals destruction. The Islamic legislation has directed its followers to maintain their intellect, and it prepared and it stressed the maintenance of one's mind and protection, or protecting it from anything which may affect it. Furthermore, it has ensured that four things are observed. Four things Islam ensures that they are maintained and observed. Ad-Din, what is Deen? Deen. Death? What is Deen? Religion. Good. Okay, what about Dain? Debt. They're written the same way, but one will have a fatha on the dal. So just, you won't confuse them in the future. Deen, Dain. Same thing, but the way you pronounce them and the way you write them, the vowels, makes a difference. And nafs, oneself. Wal-ird, one's honor. Wal-mal, one's money. And if the person maintains his mind will maintain him. If you maintain your mind will maintain you. And it will prevent you from anything which may harm you or cause you difficulty. And usually it's our mind. Our minds is the entity which is addressed. Allah Azza wa Jal spoke to us, أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Do they then not understand, using aql, the intellect? The Shaykh said, if you maintain your mind, it will help you maintain your deen, and it will help you maintain yourself, and it will help you maintain your honor, and it will help you maintain your wealth. So maintaining your mind will bring about all the other things which Islam came to maintain and protect. On the other hand, whosoever does not maintain his mind, then he will not be able to maintain himself, or his deen, or his honor, or his wealth. The Shaykh said, and amongst the greatest matters which destroy one's mind is taking in intoxicants and drugs. Consuming it will cover your mind, and it will create a veil and prevent it from fulfilling its obligation to which it was, or for which it was created. And you will no longer even know the objective of life, nor will you know the job which you're supposed to do in this life. And so the one who then consumes intoxicants or drugs has actually consumed that which will eliminate all of the things which he's supposed to maintain. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has honored the son of Adam over many of Allah's creation. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. And verily we have honored the son of Adam, and we have carried them over land and ocean, and we provided them from the goods, and we favored them over many of our creation abundantly. Allah says in Surah Al-Isra, Allah Azza wa Jal favored Adam in many different ways, and He made him distinct from many other creation, such as the plants and the animals and the jinn. He gave us intellect, He gave us understanding, He gave us means of reflection and pondering. So actually the mind is the greatest favor of Allah Azza wa Jal, because through mind you can have Islam. Not that this is more important than Islam, but if someone didn't have a mind, can they become a Muslim? No. And in Islam, رفع القلم, the pen has been lifted over the one whose mind is not with him, the crazy person, the insane. Why? He doesn't have a brain. معلش يا أخوان, جزاكم الله خير. The one whose mind is gone is not Islamically responsible. So the mind becomes the most important bounty, in a sense that through the mind you can have Islam. through your mind you're able to make a distinction between evil and good, between benefit and harm. And through your mind you're able to live comfortably. And you can arrange your affairs and handle your business. And you can enjoy things which Allah made lawful. Through the mind, nations advance and progress. And people are able to organize their life. So in fact the mind is the most important element of responsibility. For you to be responsible, your mind must be sound. And the enemies of Islam have made plenty of effort in the East and the West and in every place to corrupt this ummah and to destroy its essence and foundation and to stop its movement and to exterminate it and to strike it from places it does not expect. And ruining the shabab, the youth of this ummah, by ruining their bodies and their minds is among the greatest means they have utilized. And many efforts and many attempts have been made to do so in all aspects of life, intellectual, moral, and what have you. And perhaps among the greatest weapons are intoxicants and drugs, which they've spread in various societies, Islamic societies, and they became professional in the way they circulated amongst the youth. And so it became among the greatest dangers that faces the Muslim youth in this day and time. Consuming drugs will affect your social life negatively. The one who engages in consuming drugs, it would lead him to having many psychological inconsistencies. And he will ruin his relationship with his family members and with the people in the society. How often have drugs and intoxicants ruined ties and broke up families and changed brotherhood and love into animosity and hatred and enemies? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, verily the shaitan wants to instill between you al-adawa, enmity, wal-baghda, and hatred. Fil khamri wal-maysir. In khamr. You know why it was called khamr? Does anyone know why it was called khamr? No. Okay. What does a woman wear on her head? Khimar. Right or wrong? Khamr is that which covers. That's why the khimar is that which covers the woman's body. It was called khamr because it covers your mind. It creates a barrier between your mind and sound understanding. So the actual word, the root of the word has to do with covering. And it, particularly the covering of intellect, as in you no longer think straight because you have coverings over your mind. This is why it was called khamr. Because of that element, from there we get khimar and many other different words. In khamr, so why is this important? Because the ulama mention, based on the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, there will come a time where people will consume khamr and they will call it something else. Because khamr is usually referred to what? Wine. Back then, khamr was what? Wine. So now they drink beer, they drink whiskey, tequila, whatever. Right? And some funny Muslims, they tell you, I'm not doing anything haram. Because Allah said that wine is haram, this is a beer. And so, this is just what the Prophet ﷺ said they will do. If we understand that khamr is that which covers, then automatically understood along with intoxicants is what? Drugs. Because drugs do serve the same purpose, covering your mind. So khamr wal maysir, maysir is what? Gambling. Ar-rijsun, of course they are from the abomination of the handiwork of Satan. But anyways, he does them that so he may prevent you from the remembrance of Allah and from salah. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Are you going to stop then? Are you going to desist? This is the ayah when it was revealed that the Sahaba quit all those because the prohibition of intoxication or of wine did not come until the end of the prophethood of the Prophet ﷺ, the end of his life, alayhi salatu wasalam. because they were still growing and maturing spiritually. When they reached a level that became haram, all of them stopped. The Shaykh said, an atmosphere in which these diseases are spread is one of stress and worry, and one of division and ripping apart. Whosoever throws himself into the poisons of drugs, it will become very easy for him to waste anything which is worthy and valuable. They will sell their house, they will sell their car, they will sell even their family members in order to fulfill their needs. Furthermore, he will travel upon a very tight path, one of the most dangerous, which may lead him to theft, which may lead him to robbery. It may lead him to abandon the morals which he used to be upon once. And it will weaken his physical body and his intellect. He will become incapable of working. He will become a burden upon the society, until he reaches a point of total handicap, or he becomes someone who's distorted. His physical appearance, some people lose their teeth, some people their features change and what have you. The Shaykh said that this person then not only affects himself, but he affects all those around him in the society. And so when one person is lost, eventually the society will be at loss. As for the economical harm that results on due to consuming drugs, it is a lot. Those who are, the drunkards and the drug consumers, they create a major obstacle in the economical world in Islam. And they take away from this ummah its wealth. Yani this wealth is being spent on junk. They waste a lot of money on that. And you can put cigarettes along with that as well. Along with what they bring to themselves of calamities and diseases which need to be treated at the hospital. So one person will fall into consuming drugs. First he will waste his money. Then he will become sick in one way or another. Then he has to be taken to the hospital. Then money is spent on him to treat him. This is money that the ummah can use for something beneficial. It's being wasted on these druggies. It's being wasted on these drunkards. And furthermore, it will affect the person's productivity at work. One who is intoxicated obviously cannot do the job like one who is sober. So on this other end, it also affects a person's productivity at work. This is besides the abundance of wealth which is spent on campaigns against drugs. Right? They have to make awareness campaigns. So they have all these organizations, and a lot of money is spent so they can warn the shabab from doing drugs. A lot of money is being wasted economically in this regard. Another effect that it has is people, the traffickers, those who actually try to bring drugs from another country into this one through drug trafficking, and basically this creates a lot of problems, security problems and what have you, which leads to again problems, people running away, committing all kinds of heinous crimes in order to be able to escape drugs. And you hear crazy stories about they buy a bunch of teddy bears and they open up the teddy bears. Some of them bought dates, tamar. And they open all the dates and put the drugs in them, and they try to bring them over the hudud, as if they have dates with them. Alhamdulillah, Allah guides these officers, to feel that there's something suspicious. So they wind up, sometimes they rip a tire of a car and they find the tire stuffed with drugs. So they go, some of them swallow it. They put it in their stomach. And once they cross to the border, then they, go through some surgery or something sometimes not a surgery, to get it out. Either way, a lot of problems that may harm the person, and it creates a security barrier. And if you're an innocent person, you're trying to cross the border, they have to search you multiple times because this is a problem amongst the countries. The Shaykh said, oh brothers, what is strange is that we see that drugs have become spread among Muslims in a very strange way. And seriously, even here you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked in southern Jeddah, in the south. This is very common. There are streets, neighborhoods known as drug neighborhoods, where drug dealers are, live there, drug is being consumed. Don't be, you'll be shocked. You'll think that they wouldn't make it here. It's already here. And many of the shabab have been consuming these drugs for some time now. And our children are not safe in this regard unless we do some precautionary actions to prevent them. So the Shaykh said, what are the treatments? How can we treat this particular issue? First, the reason why drugs have become prevalent is because of our weak religious commitment and being distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is besides the fact that we are not raised properly, and the person does not really have a good relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though he may fast and pray and remember Allah, but the actual relationship is not sound. There's no real connection with Allah, so they can easily get disconnected and go and follow some other thing. The other reason is time availability. The people got plenty of time, and when they don't utilize this time in something constructive, they wind up using it as something that is destructive. Thirdly, the prevalence or the appearance of poverty in the society. So you find that people who are very poor, they wind up turning to selling drugs or consuming drugs. Either they're poor, they want to have a good time, or they're poor, they want to make money. Drugs becomes one of the means for them to live a decent life. And usually it doesn't end in this fashion. Amongst the other reasons is that people don't have correct awareness of the dangers of drugs and intoxicants. In fact, the media does the opposite. They glorify movies where drug is being consumed, and they make these people appear to be cool and funny. So the shabab think that they're cool if they, you know, if they imitate these losers. So the media does not only it doesn't help, but it actually fights against the noble cause, and it further spreads them. The last reason, and the Shaykh stressed this one in person, the parents being absent. The parents don't know what their kids are doing. They buy them a BlackBerry, and they buy them a laptop, and they buy them the tab or the iPad, and the boy, you know, or the girl, they go into their room and close the door, and you think they're reading Quran. But that's not what's happening all the time. First, if you want to provide them with these destructive tools, if they're not mature enough to use them, then you need to have your own set of maintenance. You need to look after them, see what are they doing. Occasionally check their phones. Occasionally check them, and there's no harm. Tell them, give me your phone. Show me what you have on there. If he tells you, I don't want to show you my phone, khalas, you already know something's wrong. If he shows you your phone, there's nothing wrong, alhamdulillah. If he shows you your phone, there's nothing wrong, and in the future, someone tries to encourage him, he will know, oh, my dad may check my phone. He will not put anything on it. Don't think, yani, mashallah, they're all shuyukh sitting at home. There's temptation, there's shayateen, Facebook, and you know, all these sites, and these things very often lead astray, not guide. So the parents have to observe what their children are doing. Be careful what you give them, and if you give them something which could be used in a good way and a bad way, you have to make sure that you're observing how they're using it. Otherwise it'll be too late. And all the shayateen of ins and jinn are there out to get them. It's very quick, and you lose the child. We ask Allah to protect all of your children. So the Shaykh said, you know, the relationship of the father with his child is that of, I feed you, I give you clothing, I give you something to drink, I make sure I pay for your tuition in school, and khalas. But that's not the reality of Islam. كلكم راعٍ وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. Each one of you is a guardian, and he's responsible for those under his care. It is not merely providing him with food and drink and school, education. It's a lot more than that. Your father should be your best friend. Your father should be someone whom when you have a problem with, when you have a problem with something, you can go to your father before you go to your friend or any stranger. But who has to build this relationship? The father. He has to make his son feel that if you do something wrong, speak to me. If he fears you're going to hit him, or if he fears you're going to do something else to him, he will never tell you. He must trust you enough that he knows that you love him enough that he may tell you something. You're not going to be happy. But he knows that you're someone whom he can speak to. Someone who can advise him. If we don't have this relationship, they will never come to us. If they don't come to us, they will go somewhere else. When they go somewhere else, you don't know what kind of advice they will be getting. So it becomes our responsibility in this regard. In the second part of the khutbah, the Shaykh narrated a hadith from Al-Bayhaqi, and it's not sahih, from Uthman ibn Affan. He said, there used to be a man before you who used to dedicate himself to worship Allah, and he used to leave alone people. He would seclude himself from people. He doesn't mix with the people. A wicked woman loved him. A wicked woman fell in love with him. And she sent to him her maid. And she told her, go bring him, I need him to bear witness for something. I need him as a witness for something. So the man came and he entered upon her. And every time he would enter through a door, they would close the door behind him. Obviously she was rich. She had many doors to make it to her. Every time he would walk through a door, they would close the door behind him. You can't go back. Until he made it to her. And when he made it to a beautiful woman. That woman was also beautiful in her appearance. She was sitting. And next to her was a young boy and what? Khamr, intoxicants. She said to him, she said, I did not invite you to bear witness for anything. Basically, I lied. And that she had invited him to, you know what? She invited him to one of three things. Either to have a relation with her, or to kill the boy, or to consume intoxicants. One of three things. So when he saw himself in a situation where he cannot avoid these three, either zina, or killing an innocent soul, or consuming intoxicants, he said to himself, I will consume the khamr. I will consume the intoxicants. When he consumed the intoxicants, what happened to him? He became drunk. So he wound up killing the boy and committing zina. He wound up killing the boy and committing zina. The Prophet ﷺ said, this is why khamr was called Ummul Khaba'ith, the mother of all wickedness. Yani, he thought he was committing the least. When he became drunk, he couldn't control himself. He wound up committing the two other things which he had avoided. The worst of them was intoxicants. The Shaykh said, if this is concerning khamr, then what about drugs? Which in many times, they have a greater effect on the person than intoxicants can ever have. Some of these drugs will make the person crazy, can no longer think straight at all. The Shaykh said, the Prophet ﷺ said to anyone who deals with anything which intoxicates you, drugs are included. As in the hadith of Abi Dawood, he said, Allah has cursed khamr itself. وَشَارِبَهَا, the one who drinks it. وَسَاقِيهَا, the one who pours it. وَبَائِعَهَا, the one who sells it. وَمُبْتَعَهَا, and the one who buys it. وَعَصِرَهَا, and the one who squeezes it. وَمُعْتَصِرَهَا, the one who asks for it to be squeezed. And the حَامِلَهَا, the one who carries it. وَالْمَحْمُولَ إِلَيْهِ, the one whom it is carried to. All of them, and the one who consumes its wealth, consumes its price. All of them the Messenger of Allah cursed. Whether you're directly involved or indirectly, you maybe just have a shop, a supermarket, and you're selling it, you're cursed. You may only deliver it, you work in a restaurant. Some of the Muslims who live, you know, abroad, they work, you know, on some airlines, whatever. Delivering it to someone, even if you're not drinking, you're cursed. The Messenger of Allah cursed all of them, alayhi salatu wasalam. The Shaykh said, this is for the khamr. What about the one who does drugs? So fear Allah, O slaves of Allah, and avoid and abandon all of these things. Enjoin what is good, forbid what is evil. If you see anyone consuming drugs, report him. You see anything suspicious, anything which is not normal, report this individual. You see, you know, a particular apartment where many people come in and out, anything which is, they catch them all the time. But if you see something, don't remain silent. Report these individuals, enjoin what is good, forbid what is evil, protect your children from the evil of drugs and from friends who may lead them in this particular path. At the last paragraph, the Shaykh said, and here we can't help but stand and thank thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg Him to grant success to the interior ministry in this country, which is represented by the organization of fighting against drugs and the men of Hayat al-Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi an al-Munkar, and whosoever assists them, and that Allah Azza wa Jal enables them to continue to protect the Muslim society and fight against these evil and this vice, and to make this all means for them to get their good deeds outweighing their bad deeds on Yawm al-Qiyamah. He said, I invite anyone who himself has fallen trapped into consuming these intoxicants, or has a friend, to treat it, to leave it alone, to return to Allah Azza wa Jal. Hospital doors are open. You can go and get treatment. In some places it's free. Some places it is free. They treat these issues if you're unable to afford it yourself. And return to Allah Azza wa Jal. The fault is not in committing a mistake. Rather, the problem and the fault is in continuing to do it after you know it is wrong. I mean, we may all fall into error one way or another, but when you continue, this is what is blameworthy. And then he made dua for the country that Allah protects it. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.